Jeffrey, what's that in your coffee cup?
What do you think it is, Jen? It's Death Wish Coffee. It's the only coffee I drink. Death Wish is the world's strongest coffee, and the world's strongest salesperson needs the world's strongest coffee.
Jeffrey and I drink it, and diehards, you need to be drinking it too. It'll help you wake up and smell the order forms. They have 100% no bullshit money back guarantee, so go get your first bag or first box of K-Cups of the world's strongest coffee at deathwishcoffee.com.
So what does an order form smell like?
But most of the time, your brand goes to the neutral. It's like, yeah, they are this.
But.
Or they're not this. But it depends on how bad the negative is, whether all their attention goes to the negative.
Yeah. Where do we start this? An answer doesn't matter. We're having a good time. Right.
He couldn't wait to get in here.
You need sales balls to make sales calls. I'm tweeting that puppy. Okay. This is Sell or Die, the only sales podcast on the planet that isn't afraid to say you're either selling or you're dying. Because there's no second place in sales. Win or go hungry. I'm Jeffrey Gittimer, author of The Little Red Book of Selling.
And I'm Jen Glackow, founder of Sales in a New York Minute. And today, we are going to help you sell like hell.
Oh, yeah.
We've got a great guest coming up. But first, we want to introduce you to the one, the only, our man behind the curtain, behind the glass wall.
Wait, it's a glass window.
What? You know, it's a metaphor here. It's okay. Our amazing producer, Mr. Doug Branson. Hey, Doug.
Hello, Jeffrey. Hello, Jennifer. I want to remind everyone they can subscribe to this podcast and share it with their friends on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Overcast, wherever you get your podcast. Just search Sell or Die and make sure to leave us a review. We always love getting feedback from the diehards out there.
Five stars or nothing.
That's
Doug
right.
Doug sounds amazing on the mic.
We're the Uber of podcasts. We want a five-star rating.
Except we don't rate you. You only rate us. And don't forget to join us for Motivation Mondays, our live sales meeting on Facebook.com/Jeffrey Gittimer. We put on the podcast feed as well. But if you join us live on Facebook, you get to see us, interact with us, engage with us, ask us questions, or just say hello.
Okie dokie. Let's get to the rest of the show. It's time to sell or die. Kathleen Hessert is the founder of We Are Gen Z. Kathleen spent three decades helping sports brands from the media giants ESPN and Fox Sports to world-renowned celebrities like P. Diddy and Olympic greats build their reputation and fan bases. Diehards, please say hello to the great Kathleen Hessert.
Hi.
How about that?
Hello,
is that a nice
hello.
One, Kathleen? Okay, now.
Oh, you got it.
The reality is Kathleen and I grew up down the street from one another. I don't know whether we were there at the same time because I'm way older than you are, Kathleen.
Thank you.
Way. I'm decades older than you are. But we literally grew up 500 yards apart, maybe less.
Wow, that's cool.
And when we sold our house to the Rushtons, we built on the nicest property in Haddonfield. By the way, there's now two other houses on our property. We got out of there. My mom sold the house right after they put a brick building up where the Catholic school used to be. We sold it like 3 days later. And Kathleen and I just were chatting about something in the Chicago airport one night. And turns out that she was pals with the people that bought our house and had played in my bedroom, literally in my bedroom.
And then we both moved to Charlotte,
yeah.
And we met in the Chicago airport.
Oh, that's right. So crazy. What a great story.
But hey. I will tell you this. Kathleen has niched herself in a way that has ingratiated her to the sports industry in a way very few people have been able to. I mean, she's got fans.
So there you guys are.
All right. Very, very cool. So, Kathleen, I want to talk about your background, which you're known for building and establishing brands. What's the first thing someone should do when they're in sales and they're trying to establish their personal brand? What do you recommend they do?
I had this great exercise that I used with Peyton Manning when he was going pro.
I've heard of him.
Yeah, you know, a few people have.
He's the guy who should have won his second Super Bowl with John Fox. Yeah.
So Peyton was going pro, and NFL Films came to him, another one of South Jersey's finest.
Yep.
Said, we want to do this special called Two Roads to Glory. And they were going to take Peyton and they were going to take a D3 player and they were going to chronicle their journey to the NFL. And Peyton said, I'm not going to do it. I said, what do you mean? And I said, they do beautiful work. And he said, they're going to paint me as having a silver spoon in my mouth, because his father was renowned in
Archie
football
Manning
as well. So I said, all right, what three words or phrases do you think people use to describe you today? And number one on the list was Archie's son, which is true, obviously, but it wasn't how he wanted to be defined.
Mm-hmm.
And so I said, all right, what three words or phrases do you want the broadcasters to use to describe you as you ran out onto the field for the first time through the tunnel playing for the NFL? And he said, hardest working guy out there, smart. And then I forget what the third one was.
Omaha.
Yeah, that's it. But they were all true. It's just that, so what happens when you're establishing your own personal brand is you have to say, where, you know, what are people using to describe me today, whether you like it or not, whether it's true or not, and what do I want them ideally to use to describe me? And then how much of a gap is there between the two of them, and what's contributing to one or the other? So I always start when I'm building a brand with asking a client, how do you want to be described, and how is that different from the way you're being described today? And it's got to be authentic. And beyond being authentic, it doesn't have to be fully developed, but it has to have kernels of truth, and it could be aspirational in general. But that's where we start.
And wow. So are there specific steps that someone should take if they know that, you know, this is how people are describing me, but this is really how I want them to describe me?
Yeah, I don't want to be known
me.
As that fat guy.
Right. Like, right. Besides losing weight, like, what?
Yeah. Yeah, there is. And frankly, I just worked with a very high profile D1A basketball coach, and this person needs a rebranding, quite frankly.
Right.
And so I said, once we decided what they were describing this person as, how they were describing this person, and how different it was from how this person needed to be described, I said, all right, what's contributing to this? And
That's cool.
Intentionally and unintentionally, because there are unintentional things you have no control over, even that are contributing to that brand feel, etc. And then say, all right, now these are the things you can control. So get rid of that, you know, move on from this, you know, change this. And then when we finally came to the three phrases or words and we knew what it was going to take to make that happen, I said, all right, everything the organization puts out about you, everything you say, everything you do, everything has to envelop those three words or phrases, so that, you know, use that as your checklist. When you write a piece that goes X, Y, and Z on a blog, or you do a media interview, or there's a marketing piece going out, or you're writing an email to a client, you know, does it sell you like this? And if it doesn't at least capture two of the three, you're not where you need to be.
Does your brand go to the negative as a natural thing? Do people
No.
remember the bad stuff more than they remember the good stuff when you're trying to rebrand yourself?
Well, from that perspective, yes. But most of the time, your brand goes to the neutral. It's like, yeah, they are this.
But.
Or they're not this. But it depends on how bad the negative is, whether all their attention goes to the negative.
Yeah. Hmm. I was thinking of myself, and people would say, oh, you're the guy that wrote the Little Red Book of Selling. But they also might say, you're the guy that got banned on U.S. Airways.
Probably.
Yeah. So
they say that all the time.
Literally.
Tell me about U.S. Airways.
All the time. And it's a positive story because, I mean, I got banned by an airline that no longer exists. I'm the only person banned on it. So it's a badge of honor. And it was
unless
a long
they're the
time.
Only airline going out of the airport in your hometown.
Yeah, exactly.
Which they were.
But the epilogue of the story, when I came back on the airline, all of the skycaps lined up on the curb to hug me, to welcome me back. So that was, I mean, there's good and bad to that. But I was known negatively in that time period.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And sure. I don't think anything I could have done other than let time pass. Because sometimes if enough time passes, you can get back into at least decent brand graces.
Well, it can, but generally speaking, it takes something to supplant that. You know, it's just like a Google search. You know, it can have all the things you don't want up top. And you can, it takes time, but you can change that by doing more positive things and social media and all these other things to get those to move up the scale. It's the same with the brand reputation, you know.
It seems so based on Google that they still have to like you in order to change the algorithm. Mm-hmm. So what do you, this Gen Z, I have a daughter who's 9 and she's in the Gen Z family of whatevers. And I want to make sure that she understands her own generation. Are there things that she needs to, characteristics that she probably has?
Yes. Yeah. Without a question.
Is she going to pay her own phone bill?
Not yet. Probably not yet. But if you have her on a smartphone at age 9, she's one of 98% of that generation that has a smartphone.
Oh, my God.
Wow.
98% of Gen Z has smartphones. And so for brands and advertisers, you know, you better be mobile savvy and have it,
wow.
it there.
That's and a big, the chills.
Kathleen, that's a big number.
That's crazy.
It's
yeah.
real big. And if ask Alicia, but the 50% of that generation spends about 10 hours a day on screen time.
This is Christy Walters.
And I'm Jeff Bajorek. Together, we host the Why and the Buy podcast, and we are pumped to be a part of the Sell or Die podcast network.
The Why and the Buy is a show about tackling sales and leadership challenges that salespeople and small business owners face every single day.
While we have a lot of fun doing it.
I'm a dad. I'd like to think I'm not a terrible dad, but I'm a dad, and I make bad jokes.
I love it. That's what happens when you start a podcast.
If you like making a lot of money and being super successful, then sure, I suppose.
Jeff and I have been there. We've lived through it, and we're here to share the lessons we've learned. So subscribe, rate, and review us on Apple Podcasts, Overcast, Stitcher, or wherever you get podcasts. And remember, when you know your why.
Your hows and your whats get much better. We'll talk to you again real soon.
And mic drop.
Kathleen has brought Alicia onto our show, who's part of her teen think tank. And we're very excited to have you here as well, Alicia. So thank you for joining us.
And if you would say a few words into your feedback mic, we would.
Tell us about your phone usage. What's that like?
For me, I'm actually kind of different, but I'm going with like the 98%. It is true and accurate that a lot of my generation, they be on their phones like 6 to 11 hours a day. Just knowing what's going on, what's trending every single day throughout the year.
Like Instagram?
Like, what are they doing that much time?
For that much time, like, they basically look at their role models, like basketball players.
No, your role models, basketball players. Basketball.
Yeah. No, what about, like, YouTubers and Snapchatters
definitely.
And music leaders?
Yes, music leaders. This generation is actually pretty surprising too, because they actually look up people who, in the past, you know, that are legends, that are icons as well, because they want to continue what they were doing, and then so they can bring it back. Like, they like the decades, so they like to bring things from the past that are really cool, and then bring it back into this trend as well.
So you're designing sneakers, correct?
Yes.
And do you look at the guys that designed or the women that designed Air Jordans to begin with? Was that, he was like the revolution, wasn't he?
Yes. Well, Michael Jordan, he was like the basketball player. He's the icon, but he wasn't the guy like behind the scenes that's actually creating
it. Yeah, but we don't think about that. We only think of them as Air Jordans. Not Air Alicia's. No offense.
We look at people that actually designed the actual shoes that made it happen. Splash met Dwayne Edwards, which he's the designer of Air Jordans and Michael Jordan shoes. And I got to meet him in Portland in the Pencil Footwear Design Academy. So that's how I got to do sneakers with him for A6 Tiger and Foot Locker. So, you know, learning about what he's doing and people that actually design or role models or singers or anybody that really like touched the young generation, like they look up to them. So they keep up with what everything that they're doing so they can do it too.
So one of the things that Alicia said that was really intrinsic to Gen Z is she said she's not like everybody else in her generation in terms of using social media all the time or being, you know, being on as many hours. What's really fascinating about this generation, one of the fascinating things, it just keeps going for me, is that where millennials were into themselves and brands thought of millennials as more independent and they weren't as cohesive a unit, so they weren't as easy to market to or to sell to. Even more than that, you have Gen Z. Gen Z, they're so individualistic. Now, it's really wild because it's like they're so inclusive, but at the same time, they accept people for their individualism. And so you've got even more divisions, and it's even harder for brands to figure out how they're going to engage young people today in this generation so that they can ultimately sell them their products or services or whatever.
I can tell you that my daughter knows where to get things about nails, knows where to get things about slime, knows
of
where
course.
To get, has her favorite 10 YouTubers that come up on a regular basis. And some of them are slime makers and some of them are just lip syncers. She has a Musical.ly account. She has an Instagram account, two Instagram accounts. And she is with it with respect to what's happening right now. But still, when you grow up in a household with older people, I don't want to say how old, but older people, I'll play old music and she'll go, "What's that?" I go, that's where music began.
She has no desire to know about your music history past.
I'm trying to give her some kind of insight to history. Do they block that? Is that part of their deal? Or will I at some point get her past nine into figuring out where things came from?
Well, in a minute, Alicia can speak to that. But what I will say is one of the other characteristics of Gen Z is as much as they look way past to appreciate legends and icons and that kind of thing, legacy, they, instead of looking past, they often are, they look more forward than millennials have. Mm-hmm. Now, if you think about this, Gen Z was born post 9/11 in a serious recession. Everything about the world that they grew up in, that they were born into, is different and was very negative. They look at millennials and they say, all right, I'm going to learn from them. My older brothers and sisters, they've got college debt through the roof. They had to come back and live with our parents and take my room back, you know, and are in dead end jobs. And they don't want that for themselves. And so they have a very different perspective on life. They're much more frugal. Hopefully that works out for you and your daughter.
That would not be her. But but I will say that they're looking at those millennials and saying, are they lazy? You know, are they just not industrious? Because if I don't want that, I got to work. I have to do something for myself so that I can achieve. And for those of you diehards, we call our audiences diehard people. You better be listening close to this because these Gen Z people, they're your next customer. And they got money in their pocket.
They are the current customer, Jeffrey. This is something they should understand. Gen Z today spends $44 billion a year in the United States alone and influences $600 billion a year.
Oh, yeah. Oh, believe me. Their closing ratio is 100%.
Yeah, because you know, when we were small, we listened to everything our parents said. We would never ask why. We would never push back. Now, why is the word of their generation so that they can understand context? And the reality is that we don't have technology in our homes that our kids don't agree to because they know the technology better than we do because they grew up in a technological world. We won't buy a car that doesn't fit the soccer team and all the gear that goes with it because that would be counterproductive. We don't even get food in our house. The kids won't eat because it's a waste of money. So the influence they have in the United States alone is estimated at $600 billion, not million, billion dollars a year.
That's amazing. I just come up with a book title, Gen Z is Gen Y.
That's a good one. That's a good one. But Alicia, what would you say in terms of you know how you're different as a generation from millennials?
For me, I would say most of us, including me, we're observers. So we again, what you were saying, Ms. Kathleen, is actually really true. We do actually have older brothers or older sisters that have been through, you know, the college debt, and we don't want to do that anymore. And so my mom actually works at West Mech High School as well. And she has a cosmetology program where like the CMS schools now starting this year are actually doing certifications for the Generation Z. So when they have certifications, when they get out of school, they can start working instead of going to college because a lot of the Generation Z now is actually into like not going to college because they don't want to deal with that debt themselves.
Or they don't want to come out of college after 4 years of debt and have no job or promise to get a job. You know, in the old days, you could go to university, any big university, graduate with a marine biology degree, and then go to work for Xerox selling copiers. I mean, that's your end result.
Sure.
So this is a podcast, which means for a lot of you, you don't get a chance to see us.
That's why you should follow us on Instagram. I'm at Gittimer. Jen is at Jen in any minute, all one word.
We post pictures of our travel, behind the scenes of the podcast, and of course, sales wisdom. If you're not on Instagram, we just gave you one great reason to join.
So follow us today. And you might get a shout out on our next Motivation Monday show.
At Gittimer, at Jen in any minute, we'll see you on the gram.
Is gram one of those words that if you're cool, you use gram instead of Instagram?
Now it is. I would say we'll see you on Insta.
Yeah, I would say gram. You say Insta, I say gram.
So what are some of the other big, big differences that you see between Gen Z and millennials?
For me, the difference... what do you mean by that? So I just kind of have like a good, clear understanding.
Well, Alicia, imagine you're an entrepreneur at 22 years old and you're at the top end of Gen Z. I don't think that millennials have the guts that Gen Z has. We do ongoing surveys, both custom surveys for brands as well as general surveys about Gen Z so that you can hear directly from teens. And in our surveys, there is close to 50% of the people who respond to our surveys, and that's about 1,000 teens, that say we either are now in our own business or we will be entrepreneurs at some point in our life.
No
that's
argument.
Gutsy.
Yeah, wow. My kid's already, we had a dog walking business that she wanted to start, triple P dog walking. Pee, poop, and pamper, but now they're going to do slime. Her and my granddaughter
sell slime.
Yeah.
So, in terms of purchasing and buying things, would you buy something that doesn't have any sort of branding on Instagram or Snapchat or some of the social media outlets, or do you not care about that kind of thing?
Both. I'm more into like what I see like outside of social media, and then sometimes I go into social media and see what I see. But for me, as a part of the Generation Z, like, we're more into like what's basically trending and what like the our role models, like who we look up to or who we follow, that are wearing too. And then we actually go out and see things for ourselves. We're kind of like we're leaders, so we are very individualistic when we want to create our own style. So even though that we follow, we kind of like get inspiration from other people. Mm. Go out and we actually make stuff of our own, and that's when the entrepreneurship comes in. And then we create our own things, but we get inspiration from each other.
Very cool.
Kathleen said it best. They're risk takers.
Mm-hmm.
They are.
And they're willing to put themselves out there and potentially fail. Sometimes they go in head first. Jennifer is coaching my daughter and granddaughter on what does it actually cost to make the slime before you put a sales price to it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, good place to start.
Yeah, yes, exactly. Yes. But the bottom line is they're in.
They're just doing it. And I'm like, well, let's make sure we're going to charge enough per bottle of slime that we can actually make back our costs and make some money. Now, they don't care about the cost because they didn't pay for them. So, you know, it's a fun business to have when it's 100% profit.
Sure. You know, this is important, too. A huge portion of Gen Z actually use ad blockers. So they may be on Instagram or on social media or on the internet in general, but they install ad blockers. And they've got a bullshit filter like you wouldn't believe. They know what's authentic and what's not, and they're going to act on it.
Especially the ones that grew up in New Jersey.
You got it. So they demand authenticity, and they deliver on it themselves. They will block ads because they don't care about what a marketer or a prestige brand is selling them. They would rather say, all right, if my friend has tried this and they like it, you know, they'll follow that recommendation before they'll follow the recommendation of a marketer that they know is selling them something. But they also often align with intentionally those brands that have a cause associated with them, an authentic cause, mm-hmm. where they're well aligned. And if that cause is important to them, Nike and the Kaepernick, you're going to get recently, you know, you're going to get two sides of it. You know, there are those who say, all right, we want all inclusive. We want free speech, and they give accolades to Nike for coming out with the Just Do It campaign with Colin Kaepernick at the centerpiece of it. There are other kids that have told me, you know, they use sweatshops still, so there's nothing authentic about what they're doing. They shouldn't be made champions of free speech and standing for what you believe in while they're still doing this. So they do their homework because they've got this access through the internet that we didn't have, and they're constantly on there. So they can Google anything. They can YouTube anything, and they do. And, you know, they'll use Instagram as their primary source. We did a survey last year on where they get their news and information and what they trust. And top of the list was not traditional media. They trusted traditional media more, but they, because of the ease of access, Google and Instagram were their top sources of news and information.
And don't fall victim to the fact that these kids may not be smart enough. Gabrielle had an iPhone when she was 4, could not spell. And I kept seeing things pop up on her Safari. And I said, how'd you do that? And she goes, watch, Dad, Barbie, movies. She knew voice to text. Mm-hmm. And it popped. I mean, it was like a miracle to her because she didn't have to do anything to think about it. Unfortunately, grammar, which, as you know, was a main feature at Haddonfield Memorial High School, has now fallen by the wayside as a result
of spelling, too.
Yeah. Cool. I want to ask one question. Did the kids at the Panthers thing say, protect Cam Newton and I'll become a fan?
No, they said, you know, when the mascot comes to our, comes cool, around yeah. when we're 10 years old, we like that mascot, we have more, more affinity for the team. So keep that mascot there. They say, you know, you cost too much. You know, we don't have that much money to go there. But if you created a section within your stadium with discounted tickets just for kids our age, we'd all go because it would be a social situation. We'd buy it. And we like live sports better than taped sports anyway. So we'll be there. So they gave them actionable information.
We went to Hornets games last year and Hugo comes out and Gabrielle stands up and screams, "He's been to our school."
That was
the benchmark for recognition. Not like he's the mascot of the Hornets. No. He's been to our school.
And get to them early because they are forming affinities for brands or aversions to brands really, really young in life. And if you wait, if brand X doesn't find a way to authentically engage with Gen Z right now, then they're going to have to win them over from other brands down the line. And it's a whole hell of a lot harder.
Wow.
I noticed one thing, though, that when Nike designs those Air Jordan shoes, does that guy's name appear anywhere on the shoe? Does he sign it like a Picasso or is it just he's...
Doesn't Michael Jordan sign him?
Yeah, it's Air Jordan. It ain't Air Edwards.
It's not like... The designer doesn't sign them.
Right. It's like,
but Alicia knew who he was.
Of course.
Oh, that's cool.
And, you know, that says something. So
but it took Marc Jacobs years to break away from from Louis Vuitton. And I think that Alicia
and Karl Lagerfeld.
Yeah, well he's a jackass. But but Alicia, I'm challenging you, just use your first name. And sign stuff or build it in there like a secret kind
that
of
could
code.
Be cool. That could be really cool.
So you become branded early on. You're only 22. It took me till I was 23 or 4 before I had a brand.
So, Alicia, before we go, is there anything else we should know about Gen Zs that we haven't really talked about today?
I would definitely say, since we're talking a little bit about entrepreneurship, I've looked at other Gen Z members as well, and they started their own entrepreneurship. And so, like, I would definitely watch out for this brand called Threadless, which Threadless has been growing like miraculously with actually for people to start their own businesses, along with graphic art shops and shoes and T-shirts and stuff. So if you're like a Generation Z person, then you can start your own business with those being graphic design and stuff like that. So I actually have my own account. So Threadless is booming because of that. And I think it's a great way to really start your own projects and really put your work out there.
Threadless.com.
Yes, threadless.com.
I think it's interesting, Kathleen, that we have gone from the lemonade stand before the internet. And now with the internet, it is sophisticated, a 10-year-old.
We can tweet where our stand will be today.
Exactly.
You got it.
You can Instagram whether you're closed for the hurricane or not.
Yeah. Two of our advisory board members for We Are Gen Z are Gen Zers themselves. I'm calling them Zers. And they've both written books. One is a senior at Georgetown, and his book is The Generation Z Entrepreneur.
Oh, cool.
And the other one just graduated from Brown, and hers is her big idea, the next generation of entrepreneurs.
Ooh, very well done.
Really, really
very
cool.
Very well done.
Yeah,
eliminating 51% of the population immediately. I love that.
You know it. So Haley wrote her big idea, Haley Hoffman Smith, and Alex Hines wrote The Generation Z Entrepreneur. So watch out for them. Alex actually interned last summer at a venture capital firm. And when he graduates from Georgetown, he intends to align with and or create a venture capital firm to invest in young people's new startup ideas.
I love that.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, I totally that's love great. That.
And we just ordered those books on Amazon. Yeah, be don't worry. To us.
You'll make a buck or two for us.
Hey, thank you guys.
Yeah, totally, Kathleen. Very nice to reunite with you. You Hattie Bopper, you. Alicia, we wish you the best, of course. We're expecting to see your name on sneakers.
Yeah.
I happen to be a size 13. If you are, you know, when your shoes come out, I'm not asking for freebies. I'll buy them.
Keep them to that, Alicia. Yeah. Make sure he pays you for it. No freebies allowed.
Oh, exactly. Man. Don't worry about a thing, honey. I would be more than happy to support the youth of America. I'm currently supporting them in 4 daughters and 4 granddaughters anyway. You might as well come into the family.
And Jennifer, what's your sneaker size?
I'm a size 8.
Yeah.
we got you.
All right, cool.
Thank you guys for having us.
Hey, you're more than welcome. You're more than welcome.
Remember, ask your listeners to go to wearegenz.com, our website, and to follow us on social media under wearegenz.com or wearegenz on Twitter, Facebook, Spotify, Instagram, big one. And if you've got literally custom research and you need to know for your brand what young people are thinking, how to develop products or services, come to us because we've got the kids to give you the answers.
Diehards, thank you for listening to Sell or Die. If you like what you heard, make sure to subscribe and rate this podcast. Give it a star in Overcast and tell a friend.
Tell both your friends. Just don't tell your competition. You can follow me on Twitter at Gittimer and Jen at Sales in Any Minute.
Send your sales questions to sellordie@gittimer.com. We'll be back next week with Motivation Monday and another amazing guest.
Until then, I'm Jeffrey Gittimer.
And I'm Jen Gluckow.
And we're reminding you to get out there and sell or die.
Even if your ass falls off. Sell or Die Hards. If you love the show, make sure you've subscribed.
And if you've subscribed, make sure you rate us on iTunes or give us a star on Overcast.
And if you've done all of that, tell a friend about the best sales podcast on the planet. Or better yet, tell both your friends.
And if you've done all of that, well, you're a true sell or diehard, and we thank you.